This is John Little from DFW's only all-news morning show, the KRLD Morning News. Keep listening. We'll tell you the top three things you need to know every 15 minutes.
And you can count on us for any severe weather information, breaking news, or traffic red alerts immediately when they happen.
Now, the mid-morning mic check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
And here we go. It's the 5th of August, Wednesday morning, your mid-morning mic check. Mike and Austin with you. And you're a big part of the show, too, at 945-766-1080. Anything that's on your mind, you can give us a holler, and we'll get that on Odyssey app, too. You can leave voice messages. We've got that.
I always prefer that because we can hear you better.
It's better sound quality, and it's so easy. You just you log into the app.
And hit that microphone at the top there.
That little microphone, hit that, leave a message, and we'll get it.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. And I'm sitting here this morning, once again, with a guy who interviewed a cabinet member earlier.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Came in earlier and talked to HUD Secretary. I know, right? Like, it's just,
just another day in the newsroom, baby.
HUD Secretary Scott Turner. You got a chance to talk with him earlier. And
yeah, he had some interesting stuff that they're doing, especially with public-private partnerships and how they're trying to bring down the price of housing across the state and across the country, really.
So we'll get into that. I don't know. We may play a little bit of that tomorrow, maybe today. We've got so much on our plate today.
Better to have too much than too little, right?
It is. A lot of good stuff. Got a good show coming up for you. We're going to start, though, with some angry residents in Tarrant County making their voices heard yesterday in a couple of different public hearings.
Boy, I covered this one.
Tarrant County Commissioners monthly meeting yesterday, overtaken by people angry about a proposed cut in the number of voting locations this November.
What?
An arrest.
Pick him up.
Removals.
Move him immediately from the room.
And a hallway protest. Dozens of neighbors packed Tarrant County Commissioners Court to voice their concerns over a proposal to slash polling locations from 316 to 176 on midterm election day this year.
America is the right to vote. It is wrong to suppress that. You're on the wrong side of history. You're dishonoring what it means to be an American. And more than that, you're losing your humanity.
A state rep also speaking against the cut, a roughly 44% decrease compared to 2024's constitutional amendment election.
Seems illogical, and our democracy is worth every penny that it costs.
County Judge Tim O'Hare saying even he was surprised by the number.
I'm not comfortable with 176 election sites. Found out this number, I want to say it was Thursday or Friday. I'm not okay with it. Never would have been okay with it. Not okay with it now. I think that's way too large a cut.
Elections Administrator Clint Ludwig says he didn't talk to any of the elected officials prior to the meeting.
It was simply, what do we need? How do we go above and beyond that? Does that fit into creating an even distribution? If the math had come out and said we needed 440, I would be standing here saying we needed 440.
Well, he's saying, and what most supporters of this are saying, that it's all about cost cutting.
This is, to me, the most ridiculous thing. Everyone was screaming and mad, and all the commissioners agreed. Yeah, that's way too low, buddy.
Even, you heard, Tim O'Hare himself. Even Tim O'Hare.
They were screaming, you're losing your humanity. He's like, no, you're right. It's
saying,
too low.
No, it's too low, but the debate turned ugly anyway.
You keep telling us not to California, my Texas, while in reality, you keep Russia, my Texas. You three boys from the GOP.
Right, hang on. That's it. We're going to clear the entire chambers now. You'll get your 10 seconds left. I told you how it was going to go. So we're in recess until the chambers are cleared. Okay. Take that one. Remove him from the building. Remove him.
And again, that was Tim O'Hare giving the boot to former State Representative Lon Burnham, who was...
Yeah, he started singing on his way out.
Right. We know that we don't care about basic human rights.
I've asked
any
you
of
set
them
the microphone down. Please remove him. We will go into recess because you're disrupting the meeting again.
Now, at that point, four sheriff's deputies entered the room. Burnham laid down on the floor in protest. They had to literally pick him up and carry him out of the room.
Is it necessary to arrest him?
I mean, he just picked him. One deputy had one foot, another one had another foot, each hand, and they
what you talk about
carried him out of the room, and then that's when the chanting started.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, Tiny Tim has got to go! Hey, hey, ho, ho, Tiny Tim!
Tiny Tim has got to go. So, but again,
such theatrics.
Tim O'Hare himself saying, you know, and this isn't, and we may get to do this all over again because at the end of the day, commissioners,
they just shelved it.
They shelved. They delayed a decision until their meeting next month.
I think they were upset with the commissioner, elections commissioner, because or the elections official, because they said, look, you didn't run these numbers by us beforehand, and if he had, we could have avoided all of this. And what O'Hare was trying to do, if you watch that meeting, it was ridiculous. People were just screaming the whole time. He was trying to get order. Nobody was listening, and they made this some kind of big case.
Did you notice that elections official you mentioned, he sounded real nervous.
Well, that's right.
Kind of shaky when they called him on the carpet.
When all of the commissioners are against you, why didn't you tell us about this beforehand? Well, I was just doing the math and so on and such. So it looks like they're going to come back in September, from what I remember. I think it was September, the first meeting in September.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have a new number, hopefully.
But they almost, under this proposal, it would have almost cut it in half. That is kind of drastic.
Yeah, so that's a bit. I think the idea behind all of this was that there are a lot of these polling places that are just not being used, and it's hard to staff all of these. So if we can combine them and make that number less. But as you mentioned, more than half? Uh-oh. That's a little much.
That's a bunch. Then there's the city of Westlake. They are moving forward with plans for a new data center. Uh-oh. But a lot of residents not happy about that, and they packed town hall last night to voice their concerns.
No one is against your progress, but please consider your neighbors.
You know, taking my kids to the local pond Saturday morning is no longer going to be a quiet, special experience in nature.
Once these things are operational, there's a 24/7 hum and a screeching sound. You feel it in your bones. You can feel the vibrations in your homes. Why do you want that for us?
Now, representative for the real estate developer behind the project was also there, hopelessly outnumbered. He tried to quiet the mob.
We really acknowledge some of the major corporate headquarter neighbors like Deloitte and Charles Schwab and some of them. And so we wanted to take a nod from that and really be considerate of all our neighbors around us.
Now, that comment was literally met with laughter from the crowd. Governor Abbott, meanwhile, he is still distancing himself from the data centers.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott, whose state is home to the second highest number of data centers in the country, has halted new data center projects until the state can assess the impact they'll have on its electrical grid and ensuring a reliable water supply. Abbott's order is the latest move as Americans' opposition to data centers being constructed in or near their community grows, having jumped more than 20 points since December. That's according to polling from News Nation parent company Nexstar. Many fearing higher electricity prices, lower property values, and exorbitant water use. Texas isn't alone in trying to pump the brakes. States across the country passing legislation to rein in data center development. Despite this, data center construction continues to swell nationwide, fueled in part by growing artificial intelligence.
As News Nation's Washington Bureau Chief Mike Vicara. I'll say this, the data centers, we talk a lot about how much water they use, how much electricity they use, but that woman's point,
the hum,
they make a lot of noise, these things. That's why they want to put them out in the country.
Yeah, I understand, and I did think, again, with all of these things, you're going to have to put them somewhere, and if you put them out in the country, in the rural areas, you're taking up what many in Texas would say, resources for the farmers and so on and such. If you put them in downtown, like we're trying to do in Dallas, they have more resources here, but again, you're talking about loud noises, and in a city, maybe that just, I don't know, blends in with city noise. I don't know.
Exactly. I mean, they're talking about Market Hall.
Yeah,
in
Market
Dallas,
Hall.
Turning that into a big data center. There's so much noise down there already, maybe you wouldn't notice.
Maybe that's the way to go. Put these things in major cities, but then you're talking about that. You're talking about a lot of money for the land in these major cities. I don't know if these data centers would want to purchase them. Why do they go Texas? It's so much land, and it's relatively cheap.
Yeah.
That's why they're choosing
it. We want to come here. All right, when we come back, off to Oxnard we go. Got a new accessory for the Cowboys in Oxnard, or the wide receivers, anyway.
I saw that. I thought it's kind of interesting.
Even they got these, it's like mosquito netting over their heads. Interesting. We got Brian brought us in, and we'll check in with him next as the Mid-Morning Mic Check continues.
A deep dive into the day's top stories, weekdays from 10 to noon. This is the Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's time for our daily Cowboys training camp update out in Oxnard, California. Off we go to Brian Broaddus, our Cowboys insider, 105.3 The Fan. He's been with us every day, and he joins us again right now. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are we doing?
Excellent.
Hey, we're doing great. Big news out of camp. I guess left tackle is set, right?
Yeah, It looks like to me that what they're going to try and do, nobody's really trying to compete very much for, well, let me put it this way. Guyton has done a really nice job. It hasn't been anything that Guyton has. I mean, going into camp at the competition might not have been, I know there's several shows that I've done, several platforms I've been on where we felt like the competition at middle linebacker was probably more than was at left tackle. I know there were questions about, you know, about Guyton going forward and all that, but Guyton has had a really good 7-8 days of practice. You know, and so, but I'll also say this, there's nobody that stepped up behind Guyton and is pushing him for a job right now. So, you know, that kind of is how several of us thought that might work out. It just could, you know, Nate Thomas and Shelton and those guys step up and at least show that they, you know, that they're going to be competitive, but they just haven't been that competitive right now. But that's no slight at Guyton. Guyton's done everything that he's needed to do to be this guy. He's actually, if you had to look at the five, he's playing better right now than what Steele is, and that's no disrespect to Steele. There's been times in practice where Steele is kind of who he is, and you know, Guyton has just been better.
Let me ask you this, and this is always the debate, and it seemed like Shoddy kind of settled it for everybody. No starters are going to be playing in preseason games. At least there's four different groups, and it sounds like most of the major starters not going to be playing in preseason games. Where do you fall in on this?
Well, you know, there's a couple different ways to look at this. As a former person guy, I always told my coaches, listen, if you want to play these guys in the preseason, just know that if we lose a starter, that we're probably not going to be able to replace that guy. So just be mindful of that. If you want to, you know, but I also am from the school of, I believe in getting work. Now, the way you combat this, though, is you have these joint practices. You go work against the Rams. You go work against the Saints. Where you can control the practice. You can say, okay, we're working on red zone. Okay, we're working on the short yardage here. We're going to work on in the field, move the ball situations. You know, you can control the practice that way, and you can also keep your quarterback from getting hit, you know, which is another thing. Yeah, you can have potential injuries, but you could control the pace of the practice a little bit better, and you can get your starters work that way. Dak Prescott will get a lot of work when he works against the Rams and when he works against the Saints, you know. So if you tell me you can combat having, you know, games in the preseason and not having to expose my starters, I'm okay with that as long as we're working against other teams during training camp where I can get an evaluation and kind of get my guys some work. So there's a couple of different ways of looking. There's some coaches still actually play their starters into the preseason games. I know, Andy Reid with
Kansas City. Yeah.
There's times you see Pat Mahomes and those guys lining it up, preseason game. So there's a lot of different ways to do this. But if you tell me that I could practice against somebody else and control the reps that way and the pace of the practice, I'm totally okay with that.
Here's the easy solution. Just make preseason games flag football, right?
That's right. No injuries.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. I'm going to tell you this, guys. You do these preseason games, you hold your breath every
play. Yes. Oh, yeah.
And you just, when you're tired, I remember walking across the field and talking to buddies and coaches and, you know, scout friends. I'm saying, let's just make sure that these guys get up after every single play. Every place, everybody get up. Let's not see Britt Brown and Jim Maurer out there running on the field. Dr. Cooper and those guys running on the field. No, we don't need to see that in the preseason at all.
And I got to ask you this before we let you go, Brian. We've seen these pictures and these videos back here at home of wide receivers at camp with this weird looking this mosquito netting that they put on their helmets. What's going on there?
Well, actually, the weirdest one I've ever seen in my life. And mosquito netting, at least you could see through the netting. There was a coach here at one time during the Bill Parcells administration named Mike Pope. And Mike Pope, when we were out here practicing, he had his tight ends sit in a porta-john. And so, you know, those porta-johns that you have at like concerts and stuff like that? So Coach Pope had a tight end sit there with the door closed. And then what they did is they had a jugs machine about 10 yards away. And so what they would do is that the tight end would sit in there and then they'd open the door and fire the ball. And so you had to catch the ball in the porta-john when the door was swinging. throwing an open. And you talk about
a tight window, yeah.
With the ball bouncing all over the damn place was hilarious. But Pope came up with a lot. He used to have guys dunk their heads in like big buckets of water. And then so you would duck your head in the water, you would come up, and then they would shoot a ball at you. And it was like you were trying, your face is wet, your eyes are covered with water. So it was how to catch a ball in all kinds of
extreme situations.
So, wow, yeah, you know.
So this mosquito netting is actually, it's got nothing on what Mike Pope did.
I was going to say, this is not, in terms of getting those reflexes ready, this is easy. Although I noticed George Pickens wasn't having it, though. I think they threw one ball at him and he missed it and took the thing off.
Yeah, George doesn't need the mosquito netting. George has got this ability to, he can put his hands up extremely late. We were talking about this with him on 105.3 yesterday, his ability to, like, track a ball and then put his hands up at the absolute last moment to be able to get it. So, yeah, George didn't need the mosquito netting. CeeDee looked good with the mosquito netting, but George, not so much.
Ryan, thanks again. As always, we really appreciate it, and we'll check in with you again tomorrow. Ryan brought us.
That's why we call him with all those old stories, all the 411.
I had not heard the porta potty one. That's a pretty good
crazy
one.
To think about it. All right, you know a ball when that door opens,
and you
know a ball is coming straight at you. And if anyone doesn't know the jugs machine, it's kind of like a fast pitch machine for baseball and or a batting cage, and this thing is coming out at you pretty fast.
Got to have good reflexes.
Absolutely.
When we come back, country music taking over the charts in a way we've never seen before, and that's no exaggeration.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
All right, 945-766-1080, the K-Post Roofing text line. Let us hear from you as we roll along this Wednesday afternoon. Today is National Underwear Day.
Oh, my gosh.
Boxers, briefs, or neither.
You going commando?
I'm not saying.
I know it's too hot to do that.
Today's
you can't go commando or too hot. You can't wear white pants either on a day like this.
It's a little too sweaty down there.
I would say like this, if you're a guy wearing white pants, I mean, you've got to be really comfortable with it, really confident in yourself.
Uh-huh.
You're looking at the day quite optimistically. Nothing's going to happen. Everything's going to go smoothly.
Many times it doesn't.
No.
Today's National Work Like a Dog Day. That's every day around here.
That's like the Beatles song.
And it is National Oyster Day.
Okay.
Iron Balls is all over that.
The original aphrodisiac, huh?
Says, I love them, but I can't eat them this month. I didn't know what that meant, so I looked it up. Apparently, you're not supposed to eat oysters in any month that does not have an R in it. So that would be May, June, July, and August. And this has to do with the time before refrigeration when the heat of the summer would cause seafood to spoil.
That's a Louisiana thing, man.
It must be. But now you know.
Those guys, they have all their little beliefs and so on, theories, mama's home cooking recipes.
And that one.
Yeah, and that one.
Don't eat oysters in a month that doesn't have an R. Remember that. Well, a part of music history to tell you about this morning, and it is happening as we speak. We are living it. Something that had never happened before is happening now. The top five songs on the Billboard Hot 100 are all from the genre of country music.
Okay, and when we looked at this, some of them are a little controversial because I don't necessarily know if I would put them in, but I will ask you, other than number one, had you heard any of these?
A couple of them. Okay. I mean, definitely number one. We'll go through them here. This first time this has ever happened. Number five.
Ever? That's what's crazy to me. I thought there was a country revolution at some point.
There had to have been, but apparently not. Number five on this. This is by a singer-songwriter from Chicago who got her start on TikTok. This is Stella Lefty with Boston. Number five in the country. Okay.
A country song about Boston. And she's from Chicago. And her, by the way, Lefty is a shorter version of her last name, which is Lefkowski or something.
Lefkowski or something.
And I looked it up. Her dad is a billionaire.
Oh, really?
He's a very wealthy man.
Okay.
Well, he's worth something like $4.5 billion.
That helps breaking into the music business, doesn't it? Number four is a duet between two singers. Coming up on this list is solo artists. It's Ella Langley and Morgan Wallen.
Bad. I like like this.
I like this song.
This is, to me, this is pretty good. Better than 3 and 2, I think.
Number three now, this is the one that we had to discuss a little bit. It comes from the movie Toy Story 5, and it is Taylor Swift.
She's going to country, huh?
Going back to her country roots.
I remembered I loved you. Came back when it mattered. I saw you standing there in the light of the window, wearing that same smile. Man, it's been a while, but I knew it, I knew you.
Maybe it's her harmonica.
I knew it, I knew you is the name of the song. I like it. All right,
it's not bad.
No, is it pure country?
No,
maybe not.
I wouldn't even put it in the top five, but it's Taylor Swift, so it's going to be in the top.
You know what? I would put this as a country pop. How about that?
All right,
that brings us to number two. This is Morgan Wallen, all by himself.
This guy's got so many hits.
If it was meant to be.
This is like the country countdown, and all of these songs are in the top five of the Hot 100.
You a Morgan Wallen fan?
I like Morgan Wallen.
Yeah. I do, too. I'd go to his concert because, I mean, you know all the songs. I mean, they're all over the charts.
He's good. And in number one now, this is for the 16th straight week. You know what this one is.
Oh, my gosh.
16 straight weeks at number one is getting very close to the all-time record. It's back to Ella Lang Lake.
It doesn't take.
Ella Langley from Hope Hull, Alabama.
She's having one hell of a summer, ain't she?
Texas, I can tell.
She's in Texas. That is still the number one song in the country, but the four behind it, all country music, man.
All right, so she's got that one, number one, and then she's got the number four with Morgan Wallen, who has the number two song, and he's got the number four song.
Uh-huh.
So it's crazy, man. Country is, I thought in the 90s it went through its huge boom when Garth Brooks sold more albums in the 90s than anyone else, so I thought, well, it had to have been done then.
I would argue maybe just a little decline.
Oh, yeah?
But
absolutely.
Hot
now
again.
It's back. It's back, baby.
Hot again, baby. Coming up on KRLD. You ever fallen asleep at work? We all have at one time.
I'm gonna pull the Fauci. I plead the fifth. FIF.
If you're in broadcasting and you're on the air at the time, that is a little difficult to do. But we're gonna introduce you to someone who managed to pull it off this week.
Okay.
And she's in TV. That story's coming up.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
So have you ever fallen asleep at work? Perhaps. Probably. I think most of us have.
You know, you get a little tired and you close your eyes just to rest them a bit. That's it. Nothing wrong with that.
But I'll bet you the whole city wasn't watching when you did it.
No.
Unless you're Dominique Dillon, a news anchor at WHBQ Television in Memphis. This week, she fell asleep on the air. Happened at the end of a live shot one of the station's reporters was out in the field doing a live shot. She tossed it back to the studio. They switched it back to Dominique.
Running 465 miles in a matter of days to make all of this happen.
Hello.
Oh my gosh.
Hello.
That's what was she doing the night before? Partying?
No, you're going to find out. It was definitely not partying. That was a lot of dead air, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the whole time she was on screen, had her chin in her hands, eyes closed, snoozing away until she finally woke up.
Let's turn to the forecast. We have a heat advisory this morning, but meteorologist Brittany DeBose, she shares more.
You look like a perfect little angel taking a little nap. All right, so I'll
talk. All right, and then her co-anchor piled on.
Sleeping beauty over here. It is time for Sunshine Snaps. We love your photos that you send in.
Yeah, this one is from Jamara. Wow. Look at her in Florida.
That's nice. Kind of makes you want to take a nap.
Oh, boy. Come on now.
I wasn't napping. There's something in my eye. Obviously.
Now, the video of this has gone viral, of course, with so many comments and so many hits. Dominique got an invitation to be on the Today Show this morning and explain what happened.
Okay, so the night before, my husband, he worked a double at BNSF Railway. I have a 2-year-old. I have an 8-month-old.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get them down to sleep at 8 o'clock, but my 8-month-old, she wasn't having it. Next thing you know, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock before I can actually get her down to sleep. And then all I have is a couple of hours of rest before I have to be up in the morning and be at work.
Well, at what point in that video did you realize,
I'm asleep on live TV.
When my meteorologist, Brittany DeBose, whispered my name from across the room. Yeah.
Hey, I mean, where's the control room in this moment?
Like, they're there, but they didn't think I was sleeping. They thought I was simply looking down at my tablet. Yeah, because who falls asleep in 1 minute sitting up in front of cameras?
Well, I'm glad the meteorologist had the wherewithal
to
help.
Hey, wake up.
She might still be sleeping otherwise.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever met somebody who can just fall asleep instantaneously?
Yeah.
I mean, just the moment notice, they're just out.
It's like narcolepsy.
I have no idea how people do it, but I've seen people that have been able to. It does on a plane when it's loud. It doesn't matter. They just go to sleep.
I've got a collection of KRLD staffers over the years who just passed out in their chair, including me.
Out. Yeah, well.
Someone got a shot of me once.
There you go.
All right. We're going to take a break here. Coming back after the top of the hour, we're going to hear from a 10-year-old boy from North Texas saved by a lifeguard in Southern California. They're good friends now, as you would imagine. That's coming up.
This is Joe Kelly from the KRLD Morning News. As you're listening to the Mid-Morning Mic Check, the rest of our team is hard at work in the 24-hour Breaking News Center. We'll break in immediately with severe weather, breaking news, and traffic red alerts.
And this is Chad Benson. I'll break through the noise and break down the day's top stories coming up at noon.
Now, the Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
And welcome back on this National Work Like a Dog Day.
That's right.
What's the hardest job that you have ever had in terms of, like, physical labor?
Oh, boy.
Physically most difficult job that you've ever had. That's easy for me. When I was in college, a couple of summers, I did plastering work with my uncles.
Oh, didn't you do that in 1980 during the historic heat wave?
One of those two summers was 1980. That was rough.
I bet. I think the only, like, physical labor that I ever did was actually working as a bumper car ride operator at Magic Mountain in Valencia, California.
Oh, was that the one you did one day?
No, that was, I did that for about a month and a half.
Okay.
It was terrible. The one I did for one day was the filing at a hospital. And those files just kept coming and kept coming. And they said, well, I thought I got done. And they said, no, you got to go around that corner. And I looked right around that corner and there was just files as far as the eye could see. And I'm like, I'm not doing this.
I'm done.
Mind numb.
I'm out.
Yeah.
945-766-1080. You can let us know the most difficult, challenging job that you have ever had. What was it? And you can give us a call, too. Text or call. As we continue, Mid-Morning Mic Check here on KRLD.
And the bottom line, was it worth it, too? If you could go back and say, no, that didn't teach me anything.
No, sir.
It was just breaking my hump. That's all it was.
Uncle Edgar paid me $5 an hour under the table.
All right. There you go. At least you didn't have to pay tax.
I got $200 cash at the end of every week.
Yeah, cash money, y'all.
That's it. There you go. You know, by now, most of us, we've seen the incredible video of this 10-year-old boy from Dallas rescued from the pounding surf in Southern California.
I mean, these waves were huge.
16-year-old lifeguard went out there and saved him. And now the younger boy is speaking out.
I'm so glad that you're sitting here with us today.
Thank you.
10-year-old Nathaniel Rye, like many of you by now, has seen this viral video of himself after a family vacation beach day ended with him almost losing his life.
I was, like, pretty much on the shore. I got, like, pulled, and then I, like, screamed for help.
That call answered by a 16-year-old lifeguard, Ryder Williams, who says he saw Nathaniel lose his footing, radioed for help as he rushed into the water to get him.
I think, like, one more wave happened, and I went, like, unconscious, and, like, when I woke up, the lifeguards, Ryder was, like, taking me to shore. I was super thankful because I knew he was gonna, like, save my life.
Since then, Ryder has been deemed a hero, but says he was simply doing the job he loves.
And see, the thing is, those waves come in, they knock you down, and then when it comes back, when the wave comes back, it drags you out to sea.
That's exactly the case. I've been in an undertow before. I've had it where I thought, oh my God, I'm dead. And I'm not an experienced swimmer. I can swim.
Yeah.
But in the ocean, you know, when they say the sea was angry, my friends,
that's
I'm
right.
just like, oh, it was angry at me that day.
And it was just a few days ago, Nathaniel and his dad got to meet with Ryder, the lifeguard, and thank him personally.
I was like, thank you so much for saving my life. And my sister thanked him.
That thank you led to a video chat with both families, who now in a serendipitous way feel connected.
It turns out there's a lot of commonalities between us. We all really like UFC, so we're talking about going to a fight together. And it also so happens that Shane is a retired firefighter and Ryder wants to follow in his footsteps and be a firefighter. And I happen to run a nonprofit for firefighters to screen them for cancer.
Tragedy that sometimes can reveal something bigger. Nathaniel and his dad, grateful for it all.
It's NBC5's Jayla Washington reporting. Those lifeguards, you go down to Southern California and see those stands on the beach. And it's not Baywatch.
No, okay? I mean, these guys are in great shape, but they're not. It's not Pamela Anderson running across the beach here.
No, this is a tough job.
And the thing is, you have to be ready for everything. I've just thought about trying to save someone in the ocean and how you've got to get them to remain calm when everything in their body does not want them to remain calm. They want to fight and scream and yell and get that breath of air that they're so desperately needing.
It's tough stuff. I have come close to drowning.
You said this in France, was it?
No, it was in Hawaii, but it was a French woman who saved me.
That's another thing. You got to be embarrassed a bit.
I was out there snorkeling and I had no flotation device, nothing. And I got tired and started sinking and started yelling for help. And she was right there.
Well, there you go.
My guardian angel.
Yeah, if you're listening, that French woman.
That's right.
Wherever you are. Merci beaucoup.
Also, a very close call as well for a street vendor in Ukraine. Hear about this? This guy, he's out there selling vegetables, and he starts getting chased around by a Russian drone this week.
What the hell?
But he lived to tell about it. Now, he didn't have any help, though. He had to do it all on his own.
The horrifying moments a Russian drone appears to hunt a defenseless Ukrainian vegetable vendor. The drone buzzing as the man frantically runs around his van, desperately trying to escape. That drone tracking his every move. In an instant, the man ducks for cover, the drone suddenly diving, exploding into a ball of flames. Incredibly, he survives. It hit the car and I was right beside it, the man later said, adding, it struck and I just fell down. The man suffering a concussion and multiple shrapnel wounds, his wife, who was with him at the time, getting away too. President Zelensky sharing the terrifying video, calling the attack against a civilian evidence that Russia has gone mad. The man selling vegetables saying he tried to wave off the drone, Russia giving no indication as to why it appears this vendor was targeted. It comes 24 hours after Russia says a Ukrainian drone plummeted into a crowded beach at a popular Russian tourist resort, killing 7 people, including 3 children. Ukraine says the Russians shot that drone down, claiming they didn't deliberately target the beach.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge reporting.
I just can imagine you're just sitting there, and I just think those drones just coming up to it, it feels like almost like a big insect coming up, and it makes it zzzz.
I thought they were just there to drop bombs.
Yeah, and they're looking at you. And they're surveilling you and like, what are you doing? Now, I get creeped out about anything autonomous like that.
You got different kinds of drones, I guess. This one's, hey, that guy right there.
That guy, he's up to no good.
Well, let's go get him.
I mean, I get freaked out by cars that don't have a driver and they're just sitting there. I've seen one just not moving, just sitting there on the side of the road waiting for like someone to use it. And I was just like, are they taking information about me? There he is. Look at him.
A bad day on the job for that vendor. But we're asking this morning, though, 945-766-1080. Worst job you've ever had, the most physically demanding, just this awful job that you've ever had. And we've got Sonny. Sonny's calling us from Paris, Texas.
Nice.
And we got him on right now. Sonny, good morning.
Good morning to you guys. How y'all doing today?
Excellent.
And we're doing fine. So this goes back to the pandemic. What happened?
It does, yes. I was a professional chauffeur during that time, and I got furloughed during the pandemic, you know, because everything came to a screeching halt. And Amazon was one of the only companies that were really hiring, you know, because they were an essential business or whatever. So I got hired on, and my very first assignment was to start unloading by hand the trailers that come to the fulfillment centers. Mm. And oh my gosh, that was during the heat of the summer, and I learned very quickly how old and out of shape I was. And it's the worst job I've ever had in my life.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 57, and of course that was just a few years ago. So, you're in your 50s. In my 50s trying to do that. That was not a good equation. So I got out of that as quickly as I could, and now I'm back in the chauffeur industry.
Good deal.
Good for you there, Sonny.
Appreciate it, Sonny. We appreciate the call. Thanks so much. We've got this one, a text from a listener in the 682 area code.
All right.
Where that is. Digging ditches as an electrician in a parking lot filled with asphalt around.
And you got to think how hot that asphalt is, especially in the summertime.
Just all black, soaking in that heat. Here's a listener says, I would load square bales of hay in the morning before football practice and then unload it in the barn after practice and then go to evening practice, all in the middle of August in Texas.
Let me tell you, if you've ever done anything with hay, bales of hay and moving them, my cousin is a thinner guy, and I thought, well, I lift, you know, I can do this pretty easily. That guy was totally outworking me.
Really?
I had those things in the side. I couldn't even barely pick up those hay bales. Those things are hard and to get around, and you have to get those clamps on the side.
That's right. I mean, it's not all about strength when you're throwing those hay bales
it's
around.
All about leverage.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we take a break. We're coming back on KRLD. The Mid-Morning Mic Check continues after this. We've got a milestone for marijuana in the U.S. We'll tell you about that next. Stay with us.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
So you just got a call from Rudy in Fort Worth. Rudy's a trucker. He is in Memphis right now listening on the website.
KRLD.com. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. Got his wife up there in the truck with him, too.
Yeah, and what was his worst job? Griff's?
Yeah, he said he had to work a while at the Griff's Hamburgers. I remember those. They still actually have a few of those around. They had one, when I was growing up, they had one close to our house. And Rudy says that was just nasty.
Dealing with the customers and it's all covered in grease after
home,
the day.
Yeah, every night, just all greased up. It was.
I got to get an education. That's pretty good.
And he did. All right. Good for him. Anyway, 945-7661080.
I did want to say, I got thrown under the bus here. I dated a girl in high school that could throw a bale of hay farther and higher than any of us guys. Her dad owned a dairy farm, ended up modeling in L.A. It's all about the technique. Okay.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It's not all about the strength. You got to have the right technique.
Well, hot country girls, I guess.
Let's see. Brandon writes in. He says his most demanding job was being a floor hand on drilling rigs.
Ooh, that would be. Just watching the landman enough, I'm like, I don't want to do anything like that.
And from the 817, toughest job, summer of 79, unloading refrigerated boxcars at night in Loring, Kansas.
Ugh.
And he says that the trailers were connected by metal hitches. It hurt when we would run a shin into a hitch, and it really hurt the second time.
I could imagine. Unloading fridges? Could you imagine putting them on your back or something?
No. Refrigerated boxcars.
Oh, boxcars. Okay, never mind. I thought you had the fridge itself.
That would be even worse.
Yeah.
The U.S. has hit a milestone when it comes to smoking. For the first time ever, marijuana has surpassed tobacco as the herb of choice. This is according to the National Survey on Drug Use. It says just under 44 million Americans say they use marijuana on a regular basis. That would be at least once a week, compared to now just 36 million who smoke cigarettes. Of those 44 million who get high, by the way, almost half say they do it daily.
Yeah.
Young people more likely to fire one up, although you'd be surprised at how many older Americans do as well.
And then I got high.
There's another survey out of Harvard. It says one out of every five Americans between the ages of 50 and 80 are regular marijuana users. In spite of this, though, marijuana is still a distant second to alcohol when it comes to our vices of choice, but the gap is narrow.
Oh, yeah.
This new information, it comes less than a week after a new THC ban went into effect here in Texas. This applies to all synthetically created forms of THC, including Delta 8 and Delta 10. Now, but I don't know about these Deltas. I'm really kind of not up on this.
I know I've had some Delta 9 once before in something, a gummy, I think.
Okay, so the Delta 9 that's the lightweight stuff. There's 8, 9, and 10, and the 8 and 10 are banned. 9 is still legal, but that's like 3-2 beer.
It's like Delta Dawn.
What's the point? I mean, you could smoke that all day and not get high. Critics of this new law are now speaking out, though. James Tallarico, for one, addressing his colleagues this week in the state legislature.
This bill is not going to stop Texans from smoking weed or eating edibles just because a bunch of politicians in Austin tell them not to. Texans will still use THC, but instead of getting it safely from a local small business, they'll now get it from the black market, from the drug cartels. This ban is a gift to the cartels. We are now telling full-grown adults how to live their lives. This is the nanny state at its worst. This is big government at its worst. What gives us the right to tell an adult what to do on their own time?
Ken Paxton, meanwhile, not comment, but at least he has hasn't yet. But the man driving all this, the man behind it, is Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and he's been very vocal about it.
I understand wanting to protect children, but you have grown adults who are using these products too. Is there a way to do this where grown adults could still have access to these products?
We don't want adults having this either. What are you, crazy? You want to go home and eat a bag of this tonight? See if you're here tomorrow? We want to protect the 20 and the 30 and the 40 and the 50-year-olds too. We don't want anybody buying anything off the shelf that could kill them or ruin their mental state for the rest of their lives. That's crazy talk. That's the kind of talk, the reason why we're here. Media that would say something as stupid as that.
That new law is, it's now in effect across Texas, and it may become a campaign issue in this Senate race.
Yeah, I think eventually it will. I think that more and more Americans are kind of easing their stance on marijuana in general. That's why I was a little surprised that this took effect in the way that it did, because even the politicians that are Republicans seem to be a little on the fence about this. I don't know anyone as hardcore as Lieutenant Governor Patrick.
I think it's like a lot of laws. If you're not hurting anyone else, you know.
And marijuana, I understand the people that say a slippery slope. I can kind of get that. But the fact is
alcohol.
Yeah, so many other states are doing this now. And it becomes kind of ridiculous if, you know, 40 other states eventually are going to have these marijuana laws and we're still stuck in you can't have anything.
Right.
That's not going to work out.
Which is where we are right now. The trial, meanwhile, of a Massachusetts mom who's accused of killing her three children continues with a dramatic reading from her journal. Lindsay Clancy's attorneys say she suffered from postpartum psychosis, leading to some separate medical lawsuits.
The jury heard excerpts from Lindsay Clancy's diary where she describes her mental state leading up to these horrible killings. In it, she talks about her struggles with postpartum anxiety, insomnia, and guilt over sleep training her baby. Now, I'm going to read a couple of really notable excerpts from there. She said, "I want to die. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm completely overwhelmed." But she also wrote about how she was trying to cope and how she was giving herself daily affirmations where she wrote, quote, "I am calm. I will sleep tonight. Today will be a great day. One day I can feel like myself again." Ugh. Now, the reason prosecutors wanted these entries to be read aloud is because they're trying to show Lindsay Clancy planned this. This was intentional. She didn't want to be a mother anymore. And so that's why she decided to kill her three children. Now, defense attorneys, of course, they're framing it as, look, these entries clearly show that she was in the throes of very severe postpartum depression. A toxicology expert testified that Lindsay Clancy was found with several psychiatric drugs in her system when she was found after those murders.
"I'm completely overwhelmed trying to take care of the three kids. I feel like I'm drowning every day." Again, another page that's not dated.
Correct.
"It's like I'm so desperate to get a mental break from taking care of everyone that my mind is trying to make something physically wrong with me." You recall reviewing that in the journal?
Yes.
You know, and I don't want to throw her husband at the time under the bus, but
you were talking about getting the kids out of the situation.
Get the kids out of the house.
And if she had had any of this before, why are you continuing having kids with her? I don't know. Again, there's a lot of victim shaming that we could possibly be doing here. But the fact is, I
agree. But the more I hear about this case,
when you have something that severe and she's not getting the help that she needs, something's got to be done, because you know something extreme could happen, like it did.
That trial's going to be winding down soon up in Massachusetts.
Jumps out of a window. She's in a wheelchair now.
We take a break. We're coming back. The Mid-Morning Mic Check on KRLD continues right after this. Stay with us.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
All right, worst job you've ever had, most difficult, physically demanding job, made you want to pull your hair out. 945-766-1080. Got Linda in Fort Worth. She's with us now on the Mid-Morning Mic Check. And Linda, this goes back. You and a friend were working at Neiman's, right?
Yes, we decided that all we'd ever done was teach school, that we needed something different. So we decided between Thanksgiving and Christmas, for several years, we went and wrapped gifts at Neiman's, and it was great. We had the best time, and I guess we did such a good job that they called us back to do inventory.
Had no idea what
inventory we were going to be doing. We were hoping for, like, women's clothes. Anyway, it was cosmetics.
Okay.
I counted 534 tubes of lipstick.
Okay.
My friend Susie counted 533 tubes of lipstick.
Do you got to do it again?
All over.
From over one tube?
Over one tube. And of course, we were so honest about it that we wouldn't have.
Yeah, that's right. I would have just said,
Jeez.
Anyway,
bad job.
It was fun, Linda, up until that point.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Linda. Linda. Good story.
Wow.
One tube of lipstick. Had to do the whole thing over.
You want to go to Billy and Wiley and
let's
see?
Let's do it.
Let's see what he has.
Bill's in Wiley. He's been hanging on for us. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What do we got? Worst job ever.
Okay. Summer job, early 70s when I was in college. I worked for a construction company, and one of the things they did, they poured concrete for parking lots and things like that.
Oof.
Well, one day they had a driver that quit and brought his truck back and had not emptied out all the concrete. Well, they'd all dried up in there.
Oh, so, oh no.
Oh, yes.
So you had to chip it out?
Yeah. So I'm a small guy, so they put me with a jackhammer in the summer inside the big hopper thing of a concrete truck.
Good God.
No safety glasses, no mask, no earplugs, and said, chip this stuff out. I lasted maybe 10, 15 minutes, and I got out of there, and I said, I'm not doing it. You can fire me, but I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Well, luckily they didn't fire me.
The hell with this.
Yeah, take this job and shove it.
Man, I don't blame you.
Yeah, it was bad.
All right.
Bill, that's a great story. Of course, you know, and stuff like that, that always happens in the summer, right?
Oh, my gosh. Can you? And in the 70s, he had no earplugs, no safety goggles.
Didn't even have goggles. Yeah.
That's right. Just chip away, buddy. Tell us when you're done.
11:41 now at KRLD as we continue. Boy, you're going to need a lot of self-confidence to eat at this restaurant. It's the Nude Steakhouse in Hollywood, Florida.
The fillets are fully dressed.
Let's do a nude dinner.
The diners, not so much.
They disrobed pretty much here.
Classe Soiree Steakhouse is the talk of the town and social media, not just because of the menu, but for what's not on it. The customers, that is. Clothes, none.
Is it choosing socks off first, or how does it work?
Well, we have a bathroom here.
Murad Ali is the chef and owner. He came up with the once-a-month concept to get new business, to generate some buzz. And Chef Ali says there is a market for this. And if you're saying, what? Are you kidding me?
What do you want to say to those people who say that?
Please allow people to express themselves at our place.
Legal? We'll go there before we're done.
Do you find yourself staring at people?
No, not at all.
Tonight, the chef expects about 20 people. Men, women, some single, some not. All of them nude. Toshiba Hart is your hostess.
It's more so of a gathering to get to know people, new people in the city and the lifestyle.
You know what I mean? Even though the workers are clothed, wouldn't it be distracting to have the person next to you be just sitting there bare naked?
You know, when they always say this, this always sounds great, but in practice, it's never good. I've never seen anything where they say clothing optional, dining or beach or anything like that, where you go and say, wow, that was worth it. Did you see? Most hot people aren't doing this.
Who's going to wipe down the chairs? That's what I want to know.
The whole thing is ridiculous. Why
and
would you want
to
eat?
Too. You have to pay $300 to participate in this.
That's another thing. Get to know your neighbor. I don't want to get to know my neighbor. I just want to eat a steak here.
I never thought
about eating a steak naked.
Don't want to know him that well.
Yeah.
It's 11:43 at KRLD at Classe Soiree Steakhouse. Remember that name.
All right. Hollywood,
you're in
Florida.
South Florida. We take a break. We're coming back to wrap things up right after this.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
So we've all heard of processed foods and ultra-processed foods. This one might be ultra-ultra. Even Rankin says he's not going to go near these. We're talking about...
Even Rankin, does he eat anything? Is he like a garbage disposal?
He did that. Yeah, he do it on the air. We try it so you don't have to.
Oh, okay.
Did that for years. But I don't know about this. New special edition flavor of Oreos about to hit the market.
You said KFC?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. And Oreos combined?
And the ultimate combination of sweet and savory Oreos with a Kentucky Fried Chicken flavored cream in the middle.
Oh.
It looks like a normal Oreo on the outside, but inside the sweet cream filling has been replaced with a filling meant to taste like KFC's original recipe with those 11 herbs and spices.
Why are we so insistent on combining different things that shouldn't be combined?
No, this is definitely a no-fly zone. These cookies came out over the weekend in China right next to a KFC takeout where they sell watermelon alongside the fried chicken.
I mean, again, this is like putting fried chicken in ice cream. I want my ice cream to taste like, I don't know, Dorito chips or something. Why would just eat the Dorito chips?
Now here's another one. In case you can't stomach a KFC-flavored Oreo, they've also announced a new popcorn-flavored
Oreo. This is just dumb. Why do we want to do this? as a society?
Because we can.
I guess.
Well, that must be the reason. Today is August 5th. 11 years ago today, one of the most successful plays in Broadway history began a run that continues to this day.
I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm at your service, sir. I have been looking for you.
I'm getting nervous.
Sir,
I heard you. There you go. Hamilton now up to 3,900 performances just on Broadway, and you still can't get a ticket.
Yeah, they're booked.
1962 on this date in the Brentwood section of Los Angeles.
A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend.
One of the most famous stars in Hollywood history is dead at 36. Marilyn Monroe was found dead in bed under circumstances that were in tragic contrast to her glamorous career as a comic talent.
She died of an overdose of sleeping pills, and the conspiracy theories about her death continue to day. Her funeral was small. It was just friends and family, arranged by her former husband, Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, that's crazy. I forget sometimes that he was married to her.
Well, you want to talk about royalty.
Yeah, baseball royalty, and then her.
And he had red roses placed in a vase attached to her crypt 3 times a week for the next 20 years.
Joe DiMaggio, Joe and Joe. Death.
And the first play-by-play broadcast of a baseball game was 105 years ago today. It was on KDKA in Pittsburgh. Pirates beat the Phillies 8-5 with Harold Arlen at the mic. 1921.
Okay.
First broadcast. And August 5th, 1914, that's the day the world's first electric traffic signal went into operation at the
and
corner
people
have
been running them ever since.
105th and Euclid in Cleveland, Ohio. Exactly.
Cleveland.
How long did it take for someone to
just zoom right through? I'm not going to wait for that thing. It's making me wait too long.
That's right. Stupid traffic lights.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for us. Mike Rogers, Austin York with you. The mid-morning mic check. Fun show today. If you missed any of it, you know, check out the podcast version of the show. Anywhere you get your podcast, The Mid-Morning Mic Check, right here on KRLD. We had a lot of people listening that way. Thanks so much today. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Chad Benson, he's coming up next, and we'll be right back here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Yes, sir.